and will know eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, we praise you for all your servants who, having lived this life in faith, now live eternally with you. Especially we thank you for your servant, Barbara Corbett, whose baptism is now complete in death. We praise you for the gift of her life, for all in her that was good and kind and faithful. Comfort us in the name of Jesus Christ, our eternal hope, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now please stand as you're able for the call to worship. As a father has compassion for his children,
so the Lord has compassion for those who fear God.
As a mother comforts her child,
so I will comfort you, says the Lord.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. We know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Praise the Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us worship God. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 275, A Mighty Fortress is Our God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Faithful God, how blessed are we who are called by the waters of baptism to be the children of God. Guide us by the Spirit of truth to hear the word of life and comfort you speak to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me, says Jesus. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you will be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going? Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
I'm sure everybody in this room has probably heard this famous psalm before, and its words are familiar. But I hope we realize that what we are being told is we have a shepherd that is so good and overqualified to lead us, to guide us, to provide for us, and yes, even bless us. You know, God is best equipped to know what pastures we should graze in, and God knows where those waters are that truly refresh our soul. But I hope we hear too, and we can think about Jesus Christ. He, when it talks about going through the valley of the shadow of death, as it says in the King James Version, Jesus didn't go through death's shadow. He went through death itself. He died so that Barbara could live. He did that for us as well. And even if the world or life seems to be attacking us from all sides, Jesus is still able to bless us. He is still able, amidst all the threats, to anoint our heads with oil and allow our cups to overflow. So hopefully with David, we can make that statement of faith that just says, I know goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life because I've got a shepherd that's been there, done that, and he knows the way. And as he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You even prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. So surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.
A reading from Revelation, chapter 7, beginning with verse 15. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.
Make my life an hallelujah, a song of praise to which no day. Still your grace surrounds.
Barbara's life was an alleluia. And so I need to say thank you to Reverend Blackman for seeing to it that this day of celebrating a wonderful, wonderful person possible. And to the church for all you've done to make this opportunity to give thanks to God. Thank you for all you've done to make it happen. You know, there is so much good that could be said about Barbara that we could celebrate, and I'm sure we will. From her childhood, the pride she took when her dad would take her to work, from being 9 years old and the excitement of getting to cut the opening ribbon at the zoo, to later on in life having passion and getting a sense of fulfillment at helping others through the ministry of the Mosaic Center. I don't need to tell any of you here that if you were her friend, you knew you were her family. You know, she took a lot of pride, rightfully so, in raising two little boys who before her eyes became incredibly great young men, and then with wisdom married these awesome women that she had the privilege of calling daughters-in-law, and then brought her this joy of grandkids. We can remember too just how much she loved just blending together as one big family. There's so much that we will remember about Barbara. But I was at the viewing last night, and when I saw people go to the casket, and when I talked to some of the folks there, the one thing I do know is this is painful. And you know, the degree to which we grieve reflects the magnitude of which we loved. If we grieve a lot, it's because we loved much. And so even in our grief, we can be reminded to give thanks. But what I want to talk about is how Barbara handled these last years of life in an extraordinarily blessed and courageous way. When I was here, she had three events that happened, one right after another. She had her divorce. She had the loss of Bill, her larger-than-life dad. And then she was told she had stage 4 cancer. Strike 1, strike 2, strike 3. For many people, it would have been easy to drop the bat, go to the dugout, and sit there in disillusionment. I mean, she had disappointment, death, and disease seemingly happen almost simultaneously. You know, life circumstances were telling her, or would have told most people, you know, it's time to give in or give up. It's time to throw in the towel. But not Barbara. She was not a quitter. You know, she could worry, like we all do. But when life tried to knock her down, the one thing we all witnessed together was Barbara's faith getting up. She leaves behind an incredible witness to what it means to have a genuine and courageous faith. Her faith was so very courageous because she had hope that if I put my life in God's hands, which I'm able to do through Jesus Christ, my Savior, then that's going to position me in this place of unmerited favor where God can just keep pouring His love over my life. I can keep getting washed and refreshed in this love of God because Christ's forgiveness has put me in this wonderful position. And so I want to read to you Romans chapter 5, the first five verses, because it talks about hope, and more specifically, a hope that does not disappoint. And so Paul wrote to the Roman Christians, and he said, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given us." And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I read how a minister was visiting one of his parishioners in the hospital, and believe it or not, the pastor that was telling the story described the person as Bill. But the gentleman was a man of faith, but he was not doing well. He and the family were gathered there around the bedside, giving their goodbyes. And when the pastor stepped over to tell this faithful parishioner goodbye and offer a prayer, he frantically motioned for a pen and piece of paper, Bill did, and he scribbled something on it, and he handed it to the preacher. And no sooner had he handed the note to the preacher, Bill drew his last breath and he passed away. Well, the minister, because he was in this situation of death, wanted to pray for the family and comfort them, so he just stuck the note in his coat pocket. When it came time to do the funeral, the minister realized he was wearing the same jacket he had on when he had visited Bill in the hospital. And so he told the congregation, "Y'all all know Bill. Just before he passed away, he wrote me this note, and I haven't read it yet, but it's here in my coat pocket, so let me share it with you because I bet it's something really inspirational." And he opened the note, and he started reading, and it said, "Help, you're standing on my oxygen hose." I share that with you because when we find ourselves on the edge of despair, and we all do, we can feel like we're being cut off from God's redemptive power. We can feel like the hope which is promised us throughout the pages of the Bible is being choked right out of us. And we feel like we're left with nothing, it seems, except our desperation or despair. I've heard it said that hope stands as the supreme gift a preacher can offer a congregation while speaking from the shadowy valleys. And I'm thankful that Barbara left us an enduring example of what speaking, when we talk about hope in the midst of shadowy valleys, she gave us such a wonderful enduring example of what that hope looks like. You know, it seems often enough that all of us speak from shadowy valleys because life for all of us has its gifts and its griefs. It has its breakups and its breakdowns. And in the middle of all the good that life offers us, we do very often find ourselves confronted with things like the Uvalde tragedy, the loss of good health, today, the loss of a loved one, dearly loved. Tornadic events, a host of unexpected, unwanted, and unwelcome difficulties that show up all around. But in the midst of these shadowy valleys, God tells us plainly in Romans chapter 5 that we not only have hope, but we have a hope that is truly real. And because it's a real hope, it's a hope we can trust in. It's a hope we can count on. It isn't some pie in the sky, lofty idea. It's not just the power of positive thinking. It's a hope that's true, and therefore it's a hope that can be trusted. And in a world that often chokes the hope right out of us, there is a hope that sets us breathing more easily once again. And it is that hope that comes with faith through Jesus Christ that trusts God. I want to use Jesus' decision to trust God in his journey to his cross as a way to illustrate what this hope looks like. Because if you recall, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, he was saying, you know, God, if there be another way, I sure would like to take it, because the way forward does not look very fun at all. And he saw that the immediate future was going to be so frightening and so agonizing that it tells us that he sweat drops of blood. And that's because he was in such duress over moving forward with God's plan. The path ahead seemed so devastating and dismal. But even though Jesus hoped for different circumstances, he ultimately said, "Thy will be done," and he placed his hope in God his Father. See, Jesus hoped that God would raise him from the dead. He hoped that by a sacrifice, the world would be forgiven and a new life for all would begin. And believing that his heavenly Father would not ever disappoint, Jesus willingly agreed to go to a horrific and cruel cross because he hoped that when he offered himself up as a sacrifice for our sins, God would share his glory with him as promised. So with great hope that God would get him through the terrible, the painful, and hurtful situation which lies just ahead, Jesus hoped God would use his offering to redeem the world that they both so dearly loved. That's why Jesus allowed himself to be arrested. That's why he went to his cross. He willingly headed into danger and difficulty. But that's because he trusted God's great love would not disappoint. But if you read all that Jesus' journey to the cross entailed, you will quickly realize each unfolding event that he made toward that cross made his situation look more and more and more hopeless. There was an unfair trial in which injustice prevailed, and so Jesus was sentenced to be crucified. And imagine how hopeful a person would be about their future victory as soldiers stepped forward to mock him, spit on him, and drive a crown of thorns into his head as they punched him. Imagine how hopeful things would seem as the whip struck his body again and again. Imagine how hopeful things would seem as humiliation and pain increased as things grew worse and worse. Imagine at this point how hard it would be to believe that God would bring any good whatsoever from such a horrifying situation, especially as nails were being driven into his hands and then the cross lifted up and dropped into the hole that would hold it there for all to see. Now, as I say that, I'm not trying to be gruesome. But I want us to realize that every single event at Calvary brought a greater sense that things were getting much worse, not better. As the horror and tragedy of the situation mounted, it reached a point where everything in Jesus' life appeared to be unredeemable. So we end up where we have Jesus on the cross drawing his last breath. He's going to die, and it appears like God can do no good here. But Jesus allowed all this to happen because his hope believed God would bring glory on the third day as God the Father promised. Jesus believed God could transform the greatest weakness into the most glorious victory. Jesus placed his hope in God. The third day came, and as promised, in the resurrected Jesus, we see oh so clearly that his hope and what God could do with the horrible and treacherous events that had taken place was not misplaced. Jesus had put his hope where it should have been placed. He put his hope in God, and God did not disappoint. Day three did bring resurrection and decisive victory over all those things that could assail a person. Barbara called me from MD Anderson when she was in hospice care, and she told me very calmly and very plainly, "I don't have much time here." She didn't say it panicked. She didn't say it full of fear. She said that as a statement of faith. "I don't have much time here." But you see, she knew where she was going. Her mother and Bill raised her in this hope that does not disappoint, and her mother, Wanda, ensured that all the family was nurtured in it as well. So Barbara knew, in the face of these three consecutive tragedies, where to put her hope so that she would not end up disappointed. And as a result, we saw her stare cancer in the faith and say, "You don't have the last word, God does." And like David going out to face Goliath, she knew, "My God's a lot bigger than you are." And she went forward to just have continued pride in her boys and her family and rejoice at witnessing the birth of grandchildren. Barbara now stands on the other side of the grave, perfectly healed, cancer is gone, never to return. Death came knocking, and she knew her Jesus would answer the door, and he did. She no longer has to look to God as if looking into a dim mirror by faith. She can see him face to face and know him fully as she has been fully known. Barbara's love for you and your love for her is something that the grave cannot bury. It's something that death cannot kill. And so she knows now even more that even though physically she's not here, her love for you still remains. You get to take it with you as a part of who you are wherever you go. She stands now in the place of eternal peace where there's no sorrow, suffering, or pain. And that opening hymn we sang was so perfect for her because she sang it as she lived through this cancer. Barbara's hope was placed in a place where she now knows for certain it's not disappointed. She gets to take her place among that great cloud of witnesses to keep watching over you, her children, and her grandchildren as only a great mother can do. Celebrating, she's giving thanks for a most grand communion that will take place at this huge table because she knows for certain she did good by putting her hope in the one who will make certain that his promises never disappoint. Barbara learned when Bill passed that even though her earthly father was gone, she was not alone, for she had Emmanuel, God, with her. She still had a heavenly father, even though her earthly one had passed. Her parents raised her in that faith. They nurtured her in it. And boy, was she grateful. For when life got tough, she faced all the tough things that life could throw at her with an incredible courage. And I believe that's why she made it as long as she did and went as far as she went. I know it was farther than I thought. What we learn from Romans 5 and from Barbara's wonderful example, hope is having faith, continuing in faith, even when it doesn't seem to make sense to have faith in God at all. If you remember, the disciples didn't want to go forward with their mission once Jesus died because they thought everything had just come to a tragic, hopeless end. So they hid in fear behind closed doors. It didn't make sense to continue the mission, but that is until the resurrected Jesus Christ showed up and proved them wrong. Tragedy can, does, and will strike. But we can go forth with hope because God's love always remains. And just as Jesus' love to save the world allowed him to pour out his blood on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins, we're told in Romans 5 that God keeps pouring down to us temporal people his eternal love. And the verb tense there in the Greek for pour is one of continual action. Keeps pouring, keeps pouring, keeps pouring, keeps pouring. And think about this. When the world was doing its worst to God, God was still pouring out his love. When the world was showing how grievously it can sin, God was still pouring out his love to forgive us. When Jesus died, God was still pouring out his love. And when Jesus rose from the dead, even though the disciples didn't believe what he told them about the third day, his love went to them and set them on a new path. God went to incredible lengths to give you the grace in which you now stand. And that's because there isn't anything God's love would not do to save you. And Jesus is proof. And now that God has done so very much to save you, please don't think that God would turn off that supply of eternal, unconquerable love. God will keep you in this grace in which you now stand. So let's be like Jesus and let's be like Barbara. Let's put all our eggs in God's basket. Yes, they're in one basket, trusting that his love is indeed the true love that really, really, truly has the power to save even when the world tries to do its worst. It was God's love that sent us this wonderful, kind friend, mom, sister, gift of Barbara to enjoy, who leaves behind, due to her faith, a wonderful, courageous witness of where we need to put our hope in these days ahead. Amen. And because we do trust in God, let us stand and declare what we believe using the affirmation of faith. What is your only comfort in life and in death?
Therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him.
Please be seated. Let us pray responsively. When I say, by your grace, O God, you say, raise us from death to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, maker of heaven and earth, you formed us from the dust of the earth, and by your breath you gave us life. We glorify you. By your grace, O God, Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, you tasted death for all humanity. And by rising from the grave, you opened the way to eternal life. We praise you. By your grace, O God, Holy Spirit, author and giver of life, you are the comforter of all sorrow, our sure confidence and everlasting hope. We worship you. To you, O blessed Trinity, be glory and honor forever and ever. By your grace, O God. O God, who gave us birth, you are ever more ready to hear than we are to pray. You know our needs before we ask. Show us now your grace, that as we face the mystery of death, we may see the light of eternity. By your grace, O God. Speak to us once more your solemn message of life and of death. Help us to live as those who are prepared to die. And when our days are ended, enable us to die as those who go forth to live, so that living or dying, our life may be in Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. By your grace, O God. Eternal God, we thank you for the great company of all who have the faith, finished their race, and who now rest from their labor. We praise you for those dear to us, whom we name in our hearts before you. Especially we thank you for Barbara Corbett, whom we commit to your care, and whom you have now received into your presence. Help us to believe where we have not seen, trusting you to lead us through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now please stand as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 839, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Assurance, Jesus is mine, the heart of heart and soul.
Thank you for being here. As you go into your day and into the rest of your life, may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do God's will, working among us that which is pleasing in God's sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.